Hi, my name is Ronnie. Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater and we would like to welcome you to the Importance of Working All 12 Steps workshop. Myself and Tina will be leading today about step 8, and we would like you to please help us open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
Serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
I will, not mine, be done.
All right, before we start today's step, I'd like to share with you the introduction to the 12 steps. It's from the OA 12 and 12, numeral 9. We of Overeaters Anonymous have found in this fellowship a way to recover from the disease of compulsive eating. After years of guilt over repeated failures to control our eating and our weight, we now have a solution that works. Our solution is a program of recovery, the program of 12 simple steps. By following these steps, thousands of compulsive overeaters have stopped eating compulsively. In OA, we have no program of diet and exercise, no scales, no magic pills. What we do have to offer is far greater than any of these things. A fellowship in which we find and share the healing power of love. Our common bonds are two: the disease of compulsive eating from which we all have suffered, and the solution that we all are finding is relieved by the principles embodied in these steps. Since our program is based on the 12 steps, we would like to offer here a study of those steps, sharing how we follow them to recover from compulsive eating. We hope in this way to provide help for those who still suffer from our disease. If you think you may be a compulsive overeater, give yourself a chance for recovery by trying the OA program. Our way of life, based on these 12 steps and 12 traditions, that brought us physical, emotional, and spiritual healing that we don't hesitate to call miraculous. What works for us will work for you, too. And today we will be talking about step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. We will be referring to the following literature, the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, 12 step workbook of Overeaters Anonymous, and the AA Big Book, Voices of Recovery, page 214. There will also be time at the end of the workshop for sharing, and we will present some questions for further writing or talking with your sponsor. And Tina will go first. Hi, Tina.
Hi, thank you very much. Hi, everyone. My name is Tina. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent today. Thrilled to be involved with this workshop. I've been in program since June 15, 1989. I have never left, thank you, God. I did not get abstinent that day, but I know my recovery started that day. It was a very large meeting, probably 150 people, and I heard people talking about what they used to do with the food that I still did with the food. And at that time, I thought I was the only one. And in my head, I called myself a glutton. I called myself a foodaholic. I called myself a lot of crummy names. My recovery started because I also heard, saw, and felt the strength, hope, and recovery of this program in that room with every single person who shared. It was a discussion meeting, so person after person just shared for about 5 minutes. There was no specific topic. My recovery started that day. Physically, I went home and probably had a lesser binge than I would have if it had been just a regular Sunday. But I have never left OA, and it was 26 years in June, thank you, God. I did get abstinent later on that year, and one day at a time. Just for today, I have been abstinent and not hurting myself with food. I did not get a sponsor right away because I needed someone who had what I wanted, first of all, but also who could help me in the way that I needed to be helped. And for me, that was I needed someone who would give me both the flexibility and the discipline. I was in the sports, physical education, nutrition field, so I had a very solid background about nutrition. I knew what a cup was. I knew what, you know, calories, the whole bit, how many, if I ran 5 miles, et cetera, et cetera. So I needed someone who would give me both the flexibility and strength, flexibility and discipline to do this program. My very first, one of my first memories with her is when we were talking about a food plan, and I was like, I can't not have this food for the rest of my life. And she was like, I'm not asking you that. She said, are you willing not to have it just for today? And are you willing to do, you know, the food plan that we just worked out? So I thought about it and I said, okay. And then the next day I called her up and I was all excited and I was like, I did it. And she was like, that's great. Are you willing to do it again today? And that's kind of how she got me roped in. And then ultimately we worked out a food plan that was appropriate for me and my lifestyle. I'm very athletic, so I do 5 meals a day. I've been to a nutritionist. The food plan to me is an outside issue in that we all have to do what we need to do. I'm maintaining a 65-pound weight loss. Thank you, God. That is not Tina. My story is similar to others in that I would lose weight, celebrate, gain weight plus more, beat myself up, the vicious circle, be angry, be disgusted, eat some more, go on a diet, lose the weight for a minute, gain it back, plus more, et cetera, et cetera. I had a meeting list for over a year. So as with most of us, I didn't go as soon as I heard about OA. But I did go, and the rest is history. I heard, I stayed. I came, I went, I heard, and I stayed. And I did get a sponsor about 6 weeks into program, thank you, God. And one of the first things she did after working with me about a food plan is to get me going to a step meeting. And it was on step three, turning my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understood him. And this has been a wonderful series. I encourage you to go back and listen, even if you were at the other sessions. Today, as Ronnie said, we're on step eight. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And first of all, my sponsor was just so, so crucial to that experience. If you do not have a sponsor, I would encourage you to find one or to find an OA member who's been through the steps and who is familiar with the process. And I have to tell you, when I first heard all the steps, four, I beat myself up anyway, so taking a fearless and thorough inventory of myself was no big deal. I'm more harder on myself than anybody else is. Five, I don't think so. Eight and nine, I will be honest, scared the living daylights out of me. And here's where my sponsor came in play, because we had been doing the other steps, so when we got to step eight, I trusted her. And she separated it. She said, don't worry about how you're going to do it or when you're going to do it. Don't worry about step nine. Step eight, simply asks us to make a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. That's all it says. That's all it asks. In the 12 and 12, step 8 starts on page 67, and I don't care how many times I read it, each time that I read it, I get something else out of it. So, of course, I read it again before this workshop, and it was like, when did they put this stuff in here? When we did stop eating compulsively, we found that our defective ways of dealing with people were a source of pain for us. What's the use of abstaining if I'm just going to hurt? If this is recovery, I don't want it. I wanted it. And by working with my sponsor, And the book says, next page 67, clearly if we were going to remain abstinent and find serenity, we had to learn better ways of dealing with other people, ways that would bring us joy instead of pain. Step 8 is designed to help us with this process. Step 8, we look at our relationships for the purpose of discovering these patterns which have done harm to us and to others. Here, we meet guilt head on and get rid of it. Get rid of the guilt that I have been carrying for 39 years. I worked with my sponsor. My list was based on my fourth step. And I've done the fourth and fifth, eight and nine different ways. Each way, it was exactly the way that I was supposed to do it at that time, the way that my higher power, whom I choose to call God, knew was the right way for me at that time. My list was, step 4, was, in terms of resentments, was quite extensive. So when it came to step 8, it was crucial that I worked with my sponsor closely. And I say sponsor, it could be another person, in OA, that's a confidant. I can't use a meeting for this. This is where I need to be one-on-one with someone where I can talk it out. And my sponsor kept saying to me, how had I harmed them? Okay, when going over the names, how did I harm that particular person? And it might have been, well, you know, I really thought she was a snob. And my sponsor was, and what did you do to her? I said, nothing. I just treated her nicely. I did not owe an amends. And my sponsor helped me to realize that. And that was true with so many people because feeling, before program, feeling less than, feeling judged, feeling arrogant and proud, which hid my fear. There were a lot of times where I thought I was to blame. And my sponsor helped me to realize my part, and that exactly is with step 8. How have I harmed someone? And, you know, it's interesting. It's just the same thing with step 8. She asked me the same thing. I was reluctant, and she asked me the same thing as when I first started with the food. What are you willing to do today? So with step 8 and working with her, I was willing to make a list of all persons I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And this was a process, and there are actually two parts to this. So we did. We went over... I won't tell you how many names were originally on my step 4. We weeded out quite a few because I did not owe them amends. It was the sinking thinking in my mind, but I still acted as a courteous human being, thank you, God. But then there were situations where I did owe amends. And here again, working with a sponsor, with this being willing to make amends, working with a sponsor to try and figure out what my part of it was. And the whole reason for step 8, page 69 of the 12 and 12, we're not doing step 8 to make other people feel better or to like us better. We're doing it for ourselves so that we can recover from compulsive eating. If I do not continue to do step 8, I will go back to compulsive eating. Overeating, and I believe that, and I believe that would be suicide. So becoming willing to make amends to these people, again with my sponsor, she helped me to actually look at how I was going to do that. And this was interesting in terms of, and my sponsor also encouraged me to look at forgiveness. And in the Voices of Recovery on page 214, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first part is, as long as we have not forgiven people for harms they have done us, we will find it impossible to make sincere amends to them for our side of the conflicts. For me, the essential element in step 8 is forgiveness. Until I learned how to forgive, I could not even see where I was at fault. And my sponsor worked with me on this. And even with people that I didn't want to forgive, I was, you know, the big book, our books, every book talks about praying for them whether I mean it or not. My sponsor also worked with me in terms of what would be an appropriate amends. And as I said, if I still had bad feelings about someone, I knew then, and I know now with doing a 10-step amends, if I am still angry, if I am still seething, I am not ready to do an amends to that person. I need to go back and do my step work. Made a list of all persons and became willing to make amends. Amends meaning to change. Not to tell them what they did that made me mad, so I did this, but to acknowledge what I had done. So if I'm seething about someone, I know it's still not time. And I work with my sponsor and I pray for them. And you know what? I pray for me. And usually I pray for me in the third person. It's real easy for me to pray for you, but to ask for myself is still kind of difficult. So I'll ask, and I'm just going to use names, you know, God, please help Sally, please help Tina, please help Joe, please help whomever to have all the good things in life, to give them peace, everything that I would like. And I put myself on that list. And I think the big book says 2 weeks, and for some people it's taken a heck of a long time, more than that. In the 12 and 12 on pages 103 to 106, it talks about the spiritual principles of the 12 steps. And it's interesting because for step 8, the spiritual principle is self-discipline. And I really had to think about that for a while because it's like here I'm trying to make amends, here I'm trying to change. And on page 105, it says, self-discipline makes us less likely to hurt other people and quicker to make amends when we do. So that, and also with self-discipline, it took for me a lot of discipline, a lot of honesty to sit down multiple times and go over a list and then go over with my sponsor. And then to become willing. And that's the key again. This step is to become willing to make amends. There's not, I don't have to go out and grab everybody today. It's, I talked with my sponsor. We talked about what I might do, what amends I do owe, what amends I don't owe. And if they owe me amends, you know what? That's none of my business. I'm doing this for my recovery. I'm trying to clean up my side of the street, so that I don't eat compulsively, so that I don't hurt myself with food, so that I can be the type of person my higher power wants me to be, living these 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of my ability. 8 and 9, I'm not going to say love, but they do help me in terms of, as it said, it sometimes stops me from doing something ahead of time so I don't have to make amends. Divine inspiration with all these steps and with 8, even just making the list and becoming willing cleared so much clutter and garbage from my head. And that I was willing, in fact, let me see, I've been flipping around in the book here. At the end of step 8, it talks about as much as we would like to, we cannot skip the making of amends. And the experience of OA people show us this. With this in mind, we turn once more to God, asking for the willingness to do the things we fear. I was scared to death to do this, to make the amends that I owed, to acknowledge it, and to try and make changes. Having said this prayer sincerely, we are now willing, and we move quickly ahead to step 9, page 73, and again, with the help of my sponsor. I do have some questions for you. I could go on for an ever and ever, but Ronnie has her own strength-hoping experience. It's a wondrous step, I never thought I would say this, but I'm here to tell you it works. I lived through it multiple times, but please do it with a sponsor. I have some questions for you, so if those listening in live, piece of paper or and pen or iPhone or whatever, and for those listening to the iPod, put me on pause until you get something so that you can write these down. Oh, some of these questions are from the, I forgot to mention the 12-step workbook of Overeaters Anonymous. There are 13 questions on step 8 that are all phenomenal. One of them is, what is my purpose in doing step 8? That's my question, but it's also in the workbook. What is my purpose in doing step 8? The other question, what is preventing me from being willing to make amends? What is preventing me from being willing to make amends? What can I do to become willing? So that's a two-parter. First, what is preventing me from being willing to make amends? What can I do to become willing? So for those of you who are online, thank you very much for listening with us. And for those of you on the podcast, stay with us. We've got more to come. Thank you very much for letting me share. I get to do the announcements, so you still hear my voice. This workshop is being recorded and will be posted on the OA website podcast page, as well as other podcast feeds like iTunes. If you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or fictitious name when you share. In accordance with traditions 6 and 10, please refer only to OA-approved literature when you share. Now, according to our seventh tradition, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. Even though this is a virtual meeting, we still have expenses for the website, for uploading the podcast, etc. Please use, this workshop has the number 82278. Once again, the meeting number is 82278. Please contribute by either going to www.oa.org and click on contributions. That's oa.org. Click on contributions to do your seventh tradition. Or you may also send your seventh tradition to the World Service Office, P.O. Box 44020, Rio Rancho, New Mexico, 87174. Once again, if you're writing to the World Service Office, P.O. Box 44020, Rio Rancho, R-A-N-C-H-O, that's actually two words, New Mexico, 87174, and we thank you for helping us to carry the message.
Thanks, Tina. You know, my name is Ronnie. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am grateful to be here. And whenever I hear other people share, I've been in this program for 15 years, and it still surprises me how similar our stories are. So I came into OA on October 2nd of 1999 in California. I was weighing over 200 pounds, but I think more than that, I was really afraid, and I really loathed myself. And for me, the disease-like recovery is about the quality, and it's not about the quantity. So it's not about how much I binged. It's how much I hated myself. And it's not how many years I have. It's how useful am I to others today. So this is my recovery. I came into OA, like I said, I was over 200 pounds. I stopped weighing at 183. and I went to a morning meeting in Pasadena, California. And unlike other people, I completely did not feel like I belonged. It was a meeting of about 15 people, I think. I was not familiar with the 12 steps when I came into program. And people were talking about and sharing step 10. And in my diseased mind, I couldn't understand why, if I am new, why isn't everybody talking about step 1? You know, because it was always about me. The fact that there were 15 people there who had a history together was completely irrelevant to me. You know, why don't you talk about the step where I'm supposed to be? I was guessing it was step 1. Another thing was that step 10 is about the daily inventory, and people talked about the daily mistakes that they made and how they asked for amends from other people, and I felt really sorry for them because I never made any mistakes, so I never had to say that I was sorry. And the last thing that made me feel that I didn't belong was that there was a speaker there for 10 or 15 minutes, and she was bulimic, and I am far from bulimia, thank you God, but I could not relate. You know, I was binging. I never threw up. I never did anything with my food once I swallowed it. And so it was very hard for me to relate. But I guess my higher power was ready. I might not have been, but my higher power was ready, and they had other plans. And so when we held hands at the end of the meeting and prayed, somebody who stood next to me said, you need to do two things. You need to go to a meeting a day, and you need to get a sponsor. And I don't know why, but I did that. My next meeting, I didn't go to a meeting on Sunday because it was before the internet days, and I in my little home, I didn't know there were meetings on a Sunday. I went to a meeting Monday at noon. And for the next 2 years, I went to 9 meetings a week, and I made OA my full-time job. Finding a sponsor was not easy. I had to ask several people before somebody finally said yes. People said yes, but then they didn't follow up, and I feel that as a newbie, you know, if I am committing to help somebody, I need to be there for them. I think that it is their responsibility to call me, but if I ask someone to call me in a certain time, it is my responsibility to be available. And that's not my experience with the few people that I asked to sponsor me. And so finally, I did find a person that agreed to sponsor me. We started working from the big book. She had me read the big book and physically erase wherever it says alcohol, she had me write food, and wherever it says compulsive alcoholic, she had me write compulsive overeater. And when she originally asked me to read the big book, I didn't understand why, because the big book was for alcoholics, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And once I read the doctor's opinion, I really understood for the first time in my life who I was, that I wasn't stupid, and that I wasn't weak-willed, that I had a disease. And for the same reason that, you know, I'm 5'2 on a good day and I have green eyes, I can pray and I can ask for these to change. It's not going to change. And I have a disease, and the disease is going to stay with me for the rest of my life. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to rule my life for the rest of my life. I can do the footwork. I can work the steps. And, you know, when we go to meetings, people say how grateful they are as a compulsive overeater and, you know, how great it is to make amends. And I really like to talk about how difficult it is, because I don't want people to be fooled and to think that this is an easy program. I believe that something that comes free to me is not free to have. It's not worth having. And I need, if it's something that's worth keeping for me, I need to work really, really hard at it. And this is OA for me. I don't do it because I'm benevolent. I don't do it because I wake up levitating every morning. I do it for the same reason that I brush my teeth every day, that I take a shower every day. Not because I want to necessarily, but because in the long term, it's good for me. In the long term, it will make me healthier and better. Today, I have 3 kids. And that's something that I could not have imagined. Everything that is good to me and everything that I was able to face during my recovery is thanks to OA, it's thanks to my sponsor, and it's thanks to the fellowship that I have. And the fellowship is really, you know, worldwide. Whenever I visit World Service Business Conference in May, it's just so great to see people from other countries that I can, you know, be out of touch with them for a whole year. But come May, and it's like, you know, I just talked to them yesterday, and we just dive right into how are you really doing and what's going on in my life and what's going on in their lives. And, you know, it really taught me how to listen without waiting to have my say. I really listen in order to listen and not to say my piece. And that's huge for me because before OA, I was the ruler of the universe, and I was, you know, if you were talking, I was just like waiting until you were done so that I can donate my wisdom, because obviously that's what you need today. So I had worked all the steps several times. My first time, I will share now about the eighth step, and it's to make a list of all persons I've harmed, and I became willing to make amends to them all. I think that the first thing that occurred to me when I got to step eight is that this is where therapy is separated from 12-step program. Because I have been in therapy for years and years before OA, and it never solved any of my problems. It made me maybe temporarily feel better. But when I got to step eight, I realized that I will always do steps one through five with a therapist, but I have not yet met a therapist that will ask me to own my mistakes and to make amends, which in essence is a change in my attitude and behavior towards the people that I hurt. So step eight is really where the 12 step to me started to be unique, because I have never encountered before having to really think about who did I hurt, whether or not they hurt me first. Who did I hurt, and how can I make amends? How can I make it better? What is it that I can change? And again, it's about me. It's not about the other person. That is something that's very important for me about step eight, and that's why I need to be willing, because the other side is completely irrelevant. Like anything in a 12-step program, it's about keeping my side of the street clean, and it is the guilt and remorse that blocked me from God. And step eight and nine are the last, you know, steps that really clean away that channel. My resentment, my fear, my guilt, my remorse turned my life over to other people. And I couldn't afford to do that anymore if I wanted to be in recovery. I needed to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. And in order to do that, I needed to clean away that guilt, that remorse, that fear. I needed to clear the channel so that God can talk to me clearly, and that I'm not immersed in, oh my God, what are they thinking about me? What did I do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? How can I use this person or that person? So while I was before programmed, the resentment and fear really dominated me. But today, I need my higher power to control my mind and not other people through fear or resentment. And so step eight really broke down to two. For me, it was one is to make the list, and the second is to be willing. And so making the list, for me, is very important to do during step four, or rather step five. And so when I work with my sponsees, it's really important for me when we work on step five to see what is my part. Is it my self-esteem? Is it my social norm? What is it that got hurt? What instincts, and the 12 and 12 talk about it, what are the instincts in me that are hurt? Am I afraid? Am I too self-centered? And so when I do step five with my sponsor, that's why I need a sponsor. I need somebody objective in my life to really tell me what I did wrong. And for me, it's very important that my sponsor is not my friend, because I care about my friends. so I won't hurt them. About my sponsees, I care in a different way. I want to make them better, and so I will be more blunt with them. And God knows, you know, I can give you some of my sponsees' numbers. I'm very blunt with them. But that's important to me because, for me, recovery is in the truth, and the truth is not always pretty. So I make that list during my fifth step. However, during my fifth step, it's mostly the people who hurt me. Right? I mean, and then I realized doing the fifth step, talking to my sponsor, that I'm actually the first one who hurt them. The big book talks about we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate, and then we're surprised. The point is that after step five, I need to realize that some people I hurt just because I'm an addict. They don't need to hurt me first. They don't need to initiate anything. I was a major bitch before I came into recovery, and I hurt a lot of people through my own will and my own character. And in step eight, I have to add that to my fifth step amends. Being willing, really for me, the incentive is to make me better. It's not about the other person. It's not about fear. I'm not as self-centered as I was anymore. I need to understand, and in recovery, I become a mature person, and I understand that this recovery is for me, and I'm not doing it for anybody else. And so if I want to recover, if I want that relief from the haunting of the disease, I need to want to make amends. And the big book says, if I'm not willing, I pray. But you know what? I have experienced so many great things between step one and step seven. But for me, just the anticipation and the excitement of having more freedom was enough for me to be willing to make those amends. And amends are not easy. And again, like I said, program is not easy. You know, if it were easy, we wouldn't see so many overweight people around us. Program is really, really hard. But that's something I need to take on again, and that's kind of in a circle. It's coming back to the point I started with. That's the difference between 12-step program and psychotherapy. In 12-step program, it's the first time in my life ever that I was asked to take responsibility for my actions, to be willing to ask for forgiveness, and to be willing to change my behavior in the future. And that is my story, and thank you for listening to me. And I do have a few announcements. Just as a reminder, this workshop is being recorded, and it will be posted on the OA website podcast page. If you speak, it is considered implied consent. You have to have your voice and your share recorded and posted. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or a fictitious name when you share. In accordance with traditions 6 and 10, please refer to OA-approved literature when you share. I do have a couple of questions that we talked about, Tina and myself. So if you want to rip out that pen and paper again, my first question is, what is the role of others, that is the people I hurt, when I make my list? What is the role of others when I make my list? And two, what actions can I take to increase my willingness to make amends? What actions can I take to increase my willingness to make amends? And I believe, Tina, now we have about 15, 16 minutes of open sharing.
That's correct, Ronnie.
All right, let's go.
We'd love to hear everyone, and for general sharing, OA has no requirements, so we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Chris from Huntsville. Can you hear me?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks so much for both of your shares. Really great reflections on step eight. And I have a lot of agreement with a lot of that was shared. I know for me, the part about step eight that my sponsor helped me so much with was, you know, that learning to adjust for today and stay in today, it's like I didn't, she's, you know, she encouraged me to don't not to worry about step nine. Let's just do step eight and work on the willingness. And I did the three columns technique that some other people have recommended. You know, definitely people I'll make amends to, probably make amends to, and really don't think I ever want to make amends to these people. And I'm curious, over the years, this is like 13 or 14 years later since doing step eight the first time, that how my higher power has worked in my life and made it so much easier from those initial with that initial willingness, because the easier, once I got used to making amends, then the easier it became to be willing and then putting it in God's hand and letting him have the timing on everything. All I have to do is just be willing. And that was amazing for me because of the character defects of arrogance and self-righteousness, judgment of other people, but of course not of myself. Those, I really worked hard on those character defects on step eight and then again in step nine. But it really, I just encourage everybody, again, if you don't have a sponsor, to get working on those steps, because just like the big surprise, the fourth and fifth step was one of the greatest blessings of my life, being able to do eighth and ninth step work, also the greatest blessings of my life, to finally deal on a one-to-one basis as much as possible, and they just, the blessings are unbelievable. So thank you again, and take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris.
Hi, this is Pam in Seattle. May I share?
Hi. Yeah, sure.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you both. I just so appreciated the thorough examination of this step. And especially appreciated that distinction between therapy and the steps and being held accountable. And that has been so different about recovery than from all the dieting efforts and blah, blah, blah. Is, you know, we really have to examine ourselves, which we obviously do in step four and again in step 10 on a daily basis. But then, you know, actually being willing to make a change in my attitude, my relationship with someone, or be helped by this fellowship and a power greater than myself to make a change. Because my self-will really isn't sufficient to the task of keeping me abstinent or keeping me humble, either one. And one of the things that I'm just wondering if either of you would like to address this, I know that I've been in food recovery for 21 years, and, you know, the first fourth step I did was really everybody else's inventory, and then and my sponsor was very kind in helping me work with that. And then, you know, but I had so much shame around so many of these things, and it's still kind of a haunting theme, shame. How has that evolved in your recovery life? Would either one of you be willing to?
Part of that for me comes with step nine, with the actual release by doing the amends. So you have to come back next month, because we'll be talking about step nine, made direct amends whenever possible, except when do so would injure them or others. But doing the list, working with my sponsor, and, you know, my sponsor loved me, period, the end, amen. She heard my fourth and fifth, you know. She heard my eighth. She heard all the bad things about me, and she just loved me. And that stayed with me, and everybody else in the fellowship loved me until I could love myself. And that's part of the reason why I keep coming back. You know, the weight is off, that's great, but there's so much emotional and spiritual growth that my higher power wants me to do. Ronnie, how about you?
Well, I think that it took me a while to realize how self-centered my first four step was. My sponsor was very kind, and she kind of gently continued to push me towards, okay, so what is your part? And what is your, you know, And I think that we just have to really freely work the steps hard and many, many times to get better, like everything, like meditation, like playing the piano, working the steps. If I don't practice, it's not going to get any better. But I think it's really important for me as a sponsor to make sure that I love my sponsee no matter what. And that's the bottom line for me. I know today that my sponsor, I trust her, you know, and that's it. That's the bottom line for me.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to share?
Hi, this is Nicole from Seattle. I'd like to share.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. You know, first of all, I really appreciated both of your shares. And you had asked about what we can do to get willing. And I feel like I heard the answer to that in something that one of you shared. And I wrote it down as soon as I heard it. To make OA my full-time job. I feel like by dedicating, you know, by making OA, by making my program my priority, making it the most important thing in my life, that's how I can grow my willingness. And this topic is particularly poignant for me right now. I am getting ready to do my first 8-step, and it is really scary. But I can feel there's like this little tiny spark of willingness in me. And when I heard that, you know, make OA my full-time job, it just sort of like that spark sort of blew up inside of me. And it was like, yes, that's how I will get my willingness. If I can just really make my program the beginning and end and all of my day, then it's going to grow, and so will my faith, and it's all going to work out okay. So anyway, thank you very much for your shares, and thank you for this meeting.
Thank you.
This is Jerry. Can I share?
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Thank you both for your wonderful shares. It really helps me a lot to know I'm not the only one doing this. And I would go to OA meetings and I would hear people talking about these 8th and 9th steps, and I was like, oh, my God. And it felt like groveling, you know, and I truly didn't want to do that. I'd done enough of that in my lifetime, you know, to last my lifetime. And my sponsor very wisely, when I was on step 1 or 2 and listening to people in meetings talking about the other steps, to remind me to just stay where I was, and that was on that step I was on, and we'd worry about those other steps when we got to them. And then when I did get to step 8, my sponsor had me get a dictionary out and look up the word amends. And I was very happy to see that it meant to change. And it didn't say grovel and didn't say go suck up to people. It just said change. And that really helped me a lot. So when I made my list of my people that I had harmed, and in addition to how I wanted to, in some cases, make restitution or you know, whatever, I also listed how I intended to change, and that really helped me a lot. So thank you very much. I'm enjoying this workshop.
Thank you very much. Would anybody else like to share?
Hey, hi, it's Gloria. I'd like to share.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
Ronnie, thank you. Thank you, Tina, for a great workshop. I'm out walking in the hot Florida sun, and this is like a great breath of fresh air. Thank you both for keeping your shares so grounded in our literature, because I can go to the same source and find the same directions that you guys took in doing those steps. And Ronnie, you mentioned how similar so many of our OA stories are. You said, I think, that you came into OA in October of 1999, and I came in August of 1999. So I guess we are sisters in that. Okay, well, I'm going to sign off because I'm out walking, so I'm going to be providing background noise. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ronnie, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Barbara, compulsive overeater from West Palm Beach, Florida. Thank you so much for your sharing. I just wanted to make reference to in step 8 on page 69, where it says many of us have found that our own name belongs somewhere near the top of our 8-step list. Yes, we harmed others, but we have also damaged ourselves with our self-destructive thinking, eating, and living habits. And when you mentioned about how can I become willing, I want to say every day that I'm abstinent, I show my higher power and myself my willingness to make amends to myself, to live better and to change, to make good choices each day. And in September, I will be celebrating 35 years in this program, one day at a time, being abstinent, and it is the best forgiveness that I could ever give to myself.
Thank you so much
for the workshop.
Thank you.
Ronnie, do you want to go give the questions one more time?
Yeah, sure. Would you like me to repeat all four?
Yeah, because we're almost
all right. Okay, let me just scroll down to them. All right, so the first question was, what is my purpose in doing step 8? What is my purpose in doing step 8? The second is, what is preventing me from being willing to make amends? That's the first part. The second is, what can I do to become willing? So I'm going to repeat both parts of the second question. One, what is preventing me from being willing to make amends? What can I do to become willing? The third question was, what is the role of others, that is, the people I hurt, when I make my list? What is the role of others when I make my list? And the very last question is, what actions can I take to increase my willingness to make amends? What actions can I take to increase my willingness to make amends? That's all for Tina.
That's good. Okay, unfortunately, we have to call it quits. Thank you for everyone who shared. The sharing was excellent. Please remember the opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. And how about if we close with a serenity prayer?
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you, everybody.